I don't think we can emphasize enough the concept of start small, because we all make mistakes. Better that your first purchase of real estate is small, so if you do make a mistake, your learning opportunity doesn't cost as much. So remember, start small, but get started. Go to that neighborhood, walk your dog, jog, or here's a couple other items you can do.
Well, one idea is to watch the newspaper. I like to keep an eye on the regular newspaper as well as any weekly publications. Frequently, people will put ads in weekly newspapers, the free ones, because they're cheaper. Another idea is to just make sure all of your friends know what you're doing. You might want to get some business cards printed up that say, "We buy houses." That makes you look like you've got a business of doing this. Pass out the business cards. Hang them up at your local grocery store. Let people know you're in the business of buying houses.
And that helps you expand your network. It's communication. You're letting people know that you're in the market for a house. And they may very well know somebody that's just about to move into a new house and they need to sell their old house. And you may actually be able to walk in before they end up getting a broker involved. Also, Diane, when you look at the newspaper, many times you can find a for sale by owner that's not going to be listed at your neighborhood broker. So you'll have the opportunity to go see the house, and it's not listed in what they call the MLS, Multiple Listing Service.
Exactly. And as you know, I work real closely with my real estate agent, and we're frequently looking through the MLS, but I also am always talking to people looking for the deal.
Also, when you're putting your business card up on that bulletin board at the local grocery store or local university, read what else is up there, because many times people in that price range feel they can't afford a broker. So they'll try and advertise on their own first, and they'll put something up on the bulletin board at their grocery store, at their local school, in their local school newsletter. It just pays to be aware, read the materials, look at your local newspaper and your regional newspaper. It'll be there.
One other thought, talk to property managers. They might have clients that they manage property for that people are tired of owning their house, or there's been some change in life circumstance and they're ready to sell the house. The more people you talk to, the more opportunities there are for deals that aren't in the mainstream.
Well, I know Robert talks about he can look at 100 properties and end up only buying one. Talk about that formula a little bit.
Exactly. Robert looks at a number of houses. In fact, he uses the number 100. Out of that 100, he'll make 10 offers, three of which counter back to him, and he ends up buying one. Now, that's an interesting concept. Many people think you look at a property, somehow you feel you should be obligated to buy it. Don't make that assumption. And also, if you make an offer, don't get sucked into the idea of, I need to follow through on this. Remember, it's your calculator, not your heart, running this. If it is not a good deal, don't buy the property.
Looking at those 100 properties is like going to real estate school. You learn the terminology, you look and see how the numbers flow, and you'll learn all about deferred maintenance. One house may have the bad roof, another house may have termites. The more you look at, the more you educate yourself about what you need to do about it. Diane, our listeners may still be trying to figure out how they're going to accomplish this first green house. A typical rule of thumb index would be, if you're looking for a $100,000 house to buy as a rental property, you should have at least $10,000, probably $20,000 to put down on that house. Isn't that a good rule of thumb to use?
Exactly. I also, when I'm calculating that, I'm going to calculate how much I think it's going to cost to fix up, and then I always put in a 2 to 3 month holding period. If there isn't currently a tenant in place, I know it's going to be a few months before I either find a tenant or I sell the property.
And you need to get an idea of closing costs as well, because you'll need to pay those up front.
Exactly. So that gives you a good rule of thumb on what neighborhood you want to start looking. Remember, we're also looking at the maintenance and the fix-up costs with the house, too, as we're assessing the value. I always want to keep in mind what it is I ultimately want to do with this property. Remember, that's part of the plan we had in the very beginning. For example, if this is going to be a rental and there is not a current tenant in place, I need to figure out what the approximate rental value of that is. How much am I going to rent this for? What are my costs going to be associated with that, such as the property management cost, handyman, repairs? What can I estimate? Then based on that, I do a quick calculation of what my cash on cash return will be. I do that before I even make an offer. That helps me in the negotiation process because it determines what is my bottom line. What am I going to walk away from on this house? Let's say there's a house on the market for $110,000, and when I'm through with my calculation, in order to make the return I want, I need to get it for $100,000. Well, I might come in with an offer of $95,000 or $90,000, but I know that if they counter me more than $100,000, I know that $100,000 is going to be my walk-away price.
And that's when you have to be very careful not to let emotions get involved, because you have to stick with the numbers. Now, in the binder under Section 3 on page 3-116, there's a form that you can use that will help you assess your cash-on-cash return and the monthly cash flow statement that you'll have to create for that property.
Exactly. Also, we mentioned that there might be current tenants in place. It's very important that you read the leases now, because you might be buying a property with very low leases. In other words, the tenants aren't paying a lot, and there's not a lot you can do about it for a certain period of time.
Or you might find a fantastic opportunity. The lease is at $400 a month, but the lease is up in 3 months, and you can re-rent it for $600. That makes your numbers much more attractive when you know that it's actually being rented below rental rates, and the lease is up soon.